A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Saturday. Happy Saturday, Betsy. Happy Saturday, radio listeners. It's Memorial Day weekend. Is everybody excited?
It is. The official start to summer is right. The way everyone thinks of it.
Is it official or unofficial?
Well, I think people officially think that it starts now. It's right. Not the technical first day of summer, but it's when the summer
season starts. It's when everybody kicks it into gear. And honestly, I have a little bit of a pet peeve with that. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I'm glad everybody's... I'm going to go out there and enjoy stuff.
Right.
But we tend to wrap our brains and completely focus on Memorial Day weekend as being a day all about having fun and hanging out and grilling.
Right.
And it's actually... we got to remember what it's really there for. And it's there so we can remember all of the soldiers who gave their lives fighting for our country.
Right. And it's also about those families who gave those soldiers to us to die for their country. So we thank the families for doing that for us.
Exactly. There. I'm off my soapbox. Now let's just get on with the show, because today we're joined in the studio by Jan Musen from De Bruyne Seed Company in Zeeland. Now, most of the Holland-Zeeland area seems to know Jan already.
They're familiar
with her. We're going to introduce her to Grand Rapids. She's one of the go-to sources in our area when you have lawn-related or garden-related questions. So we're very excited to have her here and pick her brain for a little bit.
Right.
Jan, thanks for being here.
Why, thank you. I'm delighted to be here today.
Now, I am very excited to have you here because several weeks ago, I was getting ready to patch some areas on my yard where the dog had wreaked havoc. There were over 100 spots where I had dead grass. And previously, I'd had a beautiful yard. Then we got a dog and no longer. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to patch that and fix it. I tried in the fall, but we hit like 100-degree weather. Do you remember that?
Last fall was a tough fall to get grass to go.
Yes. Everything that I planted died. So I thought, I'm going to start over in the spring. Just get a brand new start. So I headed to De Bruyne with the intention of just getting grass. But the guy in the store starts grilling me with a million different questions, and I just stood there kind of staring at him. The kids were with me. They didn't know what was going on. I had no idea. There were so many things to consider.
Deer in the headlights look, huh?
Now, he hooked me up and got me set, and I'm happy to say it's been about 2 weeks or so, and the yard is really starting to fill in. It's looking
wonderful.
Great. But I want to help people out there, and I want to start with this first question. Is it too late if we have areas in the yard that we'd like to patch? Have we missed our opportunity, or is there still time?
You know, if it's a small area, I would say you have plenty of time. If you're just patching certain areas, starting a whole lawn and keeping it watered to get it growing, that's a harder thing to do once we hit summer. But no, you've got plenty of time to patch.
So plenty of time to patch right now. What do people need to know?
Well, you know, a basic soil test is always kind of nice, you know, to know what the foundation is for your soil. But you came in with a dog. We understand what that problem is. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to need to add some gypsum to correct the soil there, and then you're going to need to put down the grass seed, and you will get grass to grow.
How on earth, when people come into your store, what should they do to be prepared when they come in to answer your questions?
Well, we get a lot of deer in the headlight looks, but, you know, I need to know what kind of area it is, you know, whether the dogs are out there, whether you've got kids playing on the lawn, whether you've got underground sprinkling, you know, how much maintenance you want to do on the lawn. It all depends on what grass seed I'm going to recommend for you to put down.
So my problem was trying to patch something in.
Yes.
And the gentleman kept asking me, well, do you have narrow-bladed grass? Do you have wide-bladed grass? And I hadn't even thought about that.
Yes. If you've got a narrow-bladed grass seed, you're not going to want to put in a really thick, like, turf gem fescue or something like that in its place. So we're going to try match it as best we can.
Well, help us with that, because to me that is confusing when I look. You know, I'll be honest, at least from what I understood, when I was at your store looking at the various, there was all kinds of options.
Yes.
Everything was labeled really well, but it seemed like there were a lot more options here than at some of the other places that I went. You know?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different types of lawns out there. You know, your lawn is completely different than, say, even your neighbor's lawn with what they do on their lawn. You know, some people love to be out there fertilizing and mowing and just want this beautiful, lush green, you know,
oh,
park-like
that's
setting.
Well,
really?
I
with the dogs, right?
I don't like to be out there mowing all the time. Right now, because I'm watering so much, I'm mowing every other day.
But you have to keep watering because you got to get the keep that grass seed damp while it's germinating. That's really, really important.
So is there a best kind or a best mixture? It's all dependent.
There's a best kind for you.
A best kind for me.
Yes. And there's a best kind for Betsy. You know, it's just a whole different thing, and that's why we interrogate you. Yes. Did you feel the bright lights on you?
I did. And, yeah.
Did they hook you up to a lie detector?
My kids were there. They definitely
they're the lie detector.
Point out when I'm not being completely honest. Uh-huh. No, the whole thing was, honestly, it was very helpful because this has been so confusing to me.
And it is to a lot of people.
A type of grass. You know, I would simply go to the store and I'd look, okay, this is sun.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And, I've got sun. Yeah.
So I would pick that, and I never had terribly great results. But this time it's working really well.
Yes.
So I'm very happy with that. Now, you mentioned gypsum earlier in regards to correcting the soil damaged by my dog.
Yeah.
As she followed nature's path.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the gypsum. Is that something that all dog owners should have, or are we... You're shaking your head no. So this is something for my situations.
Yeah,
well,
female
mine
dog?
Specifically. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of female dogs seem to seem to have a little more acidic urine, and it's more concentrated. So where they use for their bathroom.
Which was everywhere.
Yes. Uh-huh. You know, you got a trainer just go in one spot.
He's working on that.
But, yes, and, you know, the gypsum does help neutralize that. And always having a bag of gypsum in the garage is always handy when you have a female dog, especially. And just if you notice that she's urinating in a certain spot all the time, just go out there and throw some gypsum down on
it. How much?
Yes.
Because they're little tiny BB-sized things.
Yes, a handful.
A handful.
I'm not going to be any more specific than that, you know. And it doesn't have to. You can't really overdo it. So I really wouldn't worry about, you know, oh, I'm going to throw too much down. But, yes, especially if she is repeatedly going in that one certain area. Yes, I would
and
definitely.
What will, so that'll neutralize. It's not necessarily going to stop the grass from browning.
No, no, no. And actually, it's a soil conditioner, too. It's going to help break up some clay soil if you had clay soil.
Which I do. Yeah.
Which most of the people around Zealand do. So it also helps with that. So it's kind of a nice thing to put on your lawn, you know, if you need it. But, you know, what you're going to use for your dog is going to be different than what you're going to use for breaking
my
up.
My children.
Yes.
Yeah,
that bag that you
I've
throw
got that
at the
one
kids.
Boy uh-huh. who just, well, the bathroom's full. I'm heading outside.
I'm heading outside, yeah.
Yeah, well, son, you got to go.
My son did that in Zealand. You know, so we're walking. He was little. We're walking home from the library down Central, one of the main fancy streets.
Yes, yes.
And right in front of one of the nicest houses. My wife and I are talking, and I said, well, where is, I shouldn't say his name.
No.
Where is my son? And I looked back, and there he is standing by a tree with his pants down around his ankles. Now, he was like two.
Right.
Oh, well, I mean,
that's when little boys love to do things like that.
Yes, I am going to jail.
Yes, especially
why.
On Central Avenue in Zealand. How dare you?
But we survived.
Thank
I sprinkled
goodness.
A little gypsum down.
Yes, and we're all set to go.
Okay. Everything's good to go.
Hey, Jan, I don't think we're quite done with this topic. Can you stick around through the break so we can ask you some more questions on the other side?
Of course I will.
Perfect. We'll be back with Jan after the break. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And we are back in the studio with Jan Musin. And we were just discussing lawns during the last segment. And I have a question about mossy lawns because my lawn has moss, but not so much grass in the very shaded area.
Yes.
So it's kind of bouncy.
It
like
is.
Springy.
Well, it's, yeah, it's nice, but it's
moss.
It's
green.
It's not grass.
It's green.
Yes.
You don't have to mow it as much. What
yeah,
you,
that's
what's
right.
Your
well,
let's
certainly
be happy.
Not. Well, yeah.
Yes, I know you want that grass to grow. But
right.
Moss actually is a very easy thing to kill. There's lots of products on the market to kill it. You can
okay.
put granules. You can use a liquid. Kill it very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can rake it out. But unless you can't change the conditions, it's going to come back in.
Okay.
It's an opportunistic plant. So it's growing where the grass can't grow. So you have to figure out why the grass isn't growing there.
Okay.
Is it too shady? Is the soil really a low fertility? Mm-hmm. Does it have no air circulation around it? Change those conditions. Mm-hmm. You kill the moss and you can put down grass seed and you will get grass to grow there. So you have to change the conditions, and it is not found in a bag of lime. That's everybody's quick solution. Okay. Is throwing some lime down on it.
Right.
And it usually is not because of soil pH. Mm-hmm. It's more than likely too shady and too, just not enough air circulation around it. We have found that if you can, cut down some branches of your leaves, if you want grass there, cut down some branches, rake all the moss out, maybe add a little topsoil to it before you add your grass seed. That should be fine. Or maybe even consider doing a moss garden there, or even some shady plants like myrtle or pachysandra. Do a shade garden there. Sunlight and grass go together.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have that sunlight. If we remember back to third grade, maybe your son can remember this. Third grade science, you learn about chlorophyll in the blade of the grass, mm-hmm. and it needs that sunlight to work to form energy for the plant.
Right.
So you need 4 to 6 hours of sunlight a day to get grass to grow.
That's why it doesn't grow, because that is the most shaded area of the lawn, because it's the part that's going into the woods. And unfortunately, that's the dog's favorite area to go and do her business, so I hesitate to plant things there.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to plant a bunch of ferns there for the poor dog. No. But, maybe this is an area where you can just keep the moss.
What is a moss garden?
That was my next question. I've never heard of this.
So easy to
do. It sounds like a fairy garden, except mossy.
Exactly it. And it's really fun to do. You can actually even mail order for different types of moss, so you get different textures of the moss on your lawn.
Really?
It is really kind of neat, something that not a lot of people even think of doing. I know there is a garden around Holland, and the Hort Club did tour it once, and I can't remember where it was. Really shaded backyard, and they have done a moss garden. They've put some rocks and made it look exactly like a little fairy garden, except for life size.
Just throw all the rubble and things that you don't want.
All the
right
well,
there.
I
all
have rocks. I have rocks
in your head.
Perfect. Oh,
why,
my goodness.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's better than the air in yours. Next.
Well, shoot. I thought I had something there.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay. So shady areas.
Yes.
And we're talking about shade. There's no sun.
Yeah.
Not
that's
shady like they're questionable.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
My yard, my backyard. I get some sun. I don't know how much sun
dappled
I get.
Dappled sunlight is okay.
Okay. What did you call it?
Dappled.
See, I didn't know the word for that. That's fun to say.
Dappled.
Dappled sunlight is okay. That's not a bad thing.
That's okay.
That's
my
okay.
yard is very thin, though. It's
yeah,
very thin
it's,
back
it's
there.
It's one of those things
it's
that...
like an older gentleman.
Yeah, we're the hair. We
like
always,
you?
We
yes.
always equate that, especially with the gentlemen that come in. You put the grass seed down in the spring, and there's no leaves on the tree, so mm-hmm. the grass seed comes up, looks really promising.
Yep.
And then the leaves come on the tree, and as the summer goes by, it just kind of fades away,
yep.
just like
mm-hmm.
your hair on your head as you get older. So... you know, there's a lot of people out there that have kind of the dappled sunlight and that gets a little thin. They put grass seed down every spring in those areas, usually more fescues than ryegrasses or bluegrasses. Fescues are a little more tolerant of shade.
Are they a wider blade?
You could get the wider bladed fescue, and you can get a really narrow bladed fescue.
And a self-mowing fescue
would be even more wonderful, but unless you get a couple of sheep back there, I don't think it's going to...
I've always wanted sheep.
Yeah, I should get some and rub your
I don't think
in
they'll
it.
Like my moss, but maybe I can just keep my sheep at your house.
Yeah.
Yes, and just, and you have to fence them on one part of the lawn, and then 2 days later you put them
move
on.
Them.
We have a guy that works for us that has sheep, and he puts them in the backyard and,
oh, really?
And mows
move
the lawn.
Around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that idea. I like that a lot.
Will save you a whole lot of time, I think.
Well, I'll have to take care of the sheep.
Well, yeah,
I can
that's
pull that
true.
Off. I'll put a kid on that.
Go move the sheep.
So one of the things, we're in the studio with Jan Musen from DeBrine Seed Company.
Yes.
In Zealand.
That's
right.
It's a
right. great place. I mean, I absolutely loved it. I have not been there as much as I should have But when I went for my grass, first off, I got a ton of questions that helped me get the right product.
Yes.
I was very happy with that. And I love the smell. It's got this real old-timey...
When you walk in, you get a mixture of, like, dirt and, well, right now you get that onion smell because we have onion sets.
And that's just that one guy.
And yes, and it was just, oh my goodness.
No, it's all this cool stuff that you've got.
Yes, and it just kind of all mingles together, and you get hit by it the second you walk in the store.
It feels like I step back in time. I don't know if that's really accurate, but that's what I picture. Mm-hmm. An old-timey right. kind of it's a great place.
Well, that's kind of what we aim for, but we've been around since the early 50s.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's
definitely I recommend it. And one of the things that they talked about and directed me towards or was this yard test, you know, to figure out the pH.
Yes, what do a soil test.
Those things are confusing to me. I mean, what am I looking for? And is that something that's necessary?
It's not necessary to do every year, but, you know, if you really want to know, you know, what's going on with your grass, if you've got problems, a soil test, and especially with a garden, it's nice to know. And we suggest that you take it from, oh, three or four different areas in your lawn, need a good cup of soil, and mix it all together. And I need the soil from where the roots are, not necessarily just scrape it off the top. I need that, you know, 1 to 2 inches down where the roots are. That's what I want to know. And, you know, we go over the results with you, and we can recommend, you know, a program of what you should do, what you should put down, and give you all kinds of recommendations. So I read lots of soil tests every day.
So what is the charge for that? I never
that
got into that.
That is $15.
Oh, that's yes. not too bad.
And it takes about a week for the results to come in. And it's, you know, it's nice to know. And we have a lot of people around Zealand that have, you know, like either really high pH or low pH or low cation exchange capacity or whatever. And they have to tell them how to work on it. Yes. I just saw that glazed eye look again. Well, we'll tell them how yes. to work at it. And then they'll give it a couple of years and then they'll come back and they'll do another soil test.
Mm-hmm.
And I save all the soil tests so I can kind of go back 3 years and pull it.
And see what the adjustments
did. We can compare and see if they've actually helped out at all. So it's kind of fun to do. And, you know, once the soil is at that right sweet spot, it can absorb nutrients out of your soil and it will look much better.
There is so much that we could talk about. I mean, Jan's got information. Yeah.
yeah,
she just keeps going. She's uh-huh. throwing around words I've never heard before. So
yeah, we
it's
know.
Been a lot of fun. But if anybody does have questions about their yard or how to get it where yes. they want it to be or anything, because you guys do way more than just grass seed.
Oh, you bet.
What's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can always reach me at 616-772-2316 at the store. I always love to answer questions on the phone. You can come into the store, open 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and open till 3 on Saturday. Any one of my guys can help you, or you can ask for me too. I don't care.
Yeah, I can definitely attest. They will definitely help you. The gentleman that we talked to when I came in with the kids, like I said, ran me through a vicious interrogation.
But you do your piece.
But it was good. I got the right stuff, and I'm happy to report great results. So, Jan, thanks so much for being here with us today.
This has been a delight.
Now, when we come back, we're going to be talking about a paint color optical illusion that stresses out a lot of people,
but is very common and can be fixed.
We'll help you through it when we come back. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, questions are really great. I like questions.
Well, that's good.
Right. It's one of my favorite parts of this job.
I do enjoy that part.
You know, there's a lot of people who have jobs that get boring because they do the same thing every day.
Yeah, it's never the same
it's
day around
never
here.
Boring here.
Nope.
No. And at Repco Light, we get tons of paint questions.
Mm-hmm.
We get lots of questions, really.
Yeah, we do.
But, you know, we try to help with all the other personal questions. We do our best.
Yes.
But we're
yes,
really
we
well suited for the paint questions.
Right.
And it's fun. I love getting a question and then trying to, you know, sometimes they're very obvious and
right.
we've dealt with
yeah,
them 100
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
But there's always, you know, once a week you get something that you haven't quite run into exactly.
It's a little bit of a head scratcher. You got to do a little digging, play a little detective.
Right, and that's the fun part of it. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, we received just such a question, a head scratcher question.
Yes.
From a listener, Christine Fleming, and we're going to answer that question on the air. We've already answered it to the best we could in our email,
right,
where the exchange happened, but we're going to share it with everybody out there because there's a good chance if you do a lot of painting and decorating, you're going to run into this at least once in your career.
Yes.
So Christine is going to get $50 to Repcolite just because we're answering her question. Mm-hmm. And remember, that could apply to you. So if you have a paint question that you'd like to share with the rest of the world, or at least our little corner slice of West Michigan,
right,
you can email Betsy and I at radio@repcolite.com, mm-hmm, or you can go to our Facebook page, the Repcolite Facebook page, and post your question there. We'll answer it online or in an email. And if we answer it on air, you get the $50.
Yay, so everyone wants that.
Let's get to Christine's question.
Yes, she said, okay, so I have a cream or almond color in my paint bucket. Yeah, when I put a sample on the wall, it turns gray. Ugh, what is happening?
And she really wrote, ugh,
yes,
what is happening? And that's what made me realize, oh, she's very frustrated.
It's like the distress signal.
Yeah.
It's like the big old SOS being pumped out to us.
Exactly.
Help.
So what she's got, she opens her can of paint and the color looks right. It's kind of a creamy almond color in the can.
Right.
Then she puts a sample on the wall just to make sure this is exactly what she wants. Mm-hmm. And instead of looking like the creamy yellow, the creamy almond color, it looks gray on the wall. So she's frustrated. What do I do? Do I keep painting? Do I stop painting? What do I do? What's going on? Now, first off, the thing that you want to remember or understand is that paint dries down differently than how it looks in the can.
Yeah, typically it darkens as it begins to dry. So the liquid paint that's in your bucket is 9 times out of 10 lighter than the way it appears on the wall.
So we've had any number of times where somebody opens up their can and it's a light baby blue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm bringing that right back because it was supposed to be a medium blue, not a baby blue.
Yep.
Well, when we dry it down in the store and show them, oh, it dries down exactly to what you think. So if you have that issue happen, don't freak out right away. You don't have to necessarily rush back to the store. You could save yourself some time just by putting a sample down on some paper and force drying it with a hairdryer.
Right.
Maybe it dries into the color. Chances are, if it looks light in the can, it's going to dry to where you wanted it to be.
Right.
So that's one thing that could be going on here.
Yes.
Christine could be seeing that. But actually, she did say that it looks like another color, like a gray. It's an almond color in the can, and it's looking like a gray on the wall. So another cause of the problem could be the lighting.
Yeah, depending on what light bulb you're using, that can make a huge difference whether it turns out a gray color or a little bit of a red or yellow undertone. So the light bulb will make a huge difference. And if you looked at the sample just in the store, that's going to make a difference because the sample in the store is not going to look the way it looks when you put the paint on your wall with a different light bulb.
All because of the lighting. You'll be amazed how big a difference lighting can make. And that's why it's so important to paint out your samples on a foam board.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of poster board or something that you can move around from room to room and look at it in different lighting situations. And
well, we do have the Benjamin Moore samples, the little sample pints at all of our stores, Repcolite in Port City. Invest in those so that you know that it's the color that you actually want. So that you're not left scratching your head on this.
But get a sample pint and put the sample paint on a board, like we said, like a piece of wall board or a foam board or a poster board.
Something
white. Not the wall. Something that you can move around.
Yes.
Now, we're talking about paint color problems or potential problems on the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we went through a couple of reasons why a listener might notice one color in the can when the paint is wet and a much darker, grayer color on the wall when she paints a sample on the wall.
Right.
So we went through a couple of reasons why that might be happening. Here's the one where I really think is what's going on. Things in your room can dramatically affect how you perceive the color. Now, I remember a remodel project that a customer was going through years back when I was working at the Lakewood store. They had pulled up alder carpet. So they had just the chipboard, you know, subfloor there exposed.
Yep.
And they were going to get the walls painted before the new carpet came in, which makes great sense.
Right.
So they did that. And absolutely freaked out because the color on the wall didn't look anything like what they were expecting it to look like.
Right.
You know, they were worried the new carpet's going to come and it's not going to look good against the color that's on the wall.
Right.
And we tried to figure out what was going on. And finally, we asked the question, what's on your floor right now? And that's when they told us the carpet's gone and it's just that subfloor. Well, there's a lot of yellow in that floor.
Yep.
And that was making their color on the wall look completely different.
Yeah.
Once they hid that from their view and put the carpet sample down and blocked out everything else, the color looked fine.
Right. This happens a lot with adjoining wall colors as well, especially if you have like a red wall or a blue wall right by the new color that you're painting. It will actually reflect some of those reds and blues, things like that, from the adjoining wall color onto your new. So that's something to think about. You know, if you're going to paint both walls, don't freak out just because you're starting to see this wrong color. Paint the next wall and see if it looks better.
And now let's get to exactly what I think is happening in Christine's instance, and that's the color on the wall is what's causing the problem. So the original color.
Yep.
She painted a sample, you know, like a dinner plate size sample on that wall, and she sent us some pictures because we did go back and forth in an email.
Yeah.
And the original color was kind of a rich yellowy,
kind of a golden yellow color. Yep.
And the new color is an almond color, I guess, but it does have some gray undertones. It's, what did you call it? A grayish.
Grayish. It's kind of a cross between gray and beige. It's a warmer gray color. So in the can, it can look a little bit yellowy or creamy when it's still wet.
But when you put it on the wall next to a really much more vibrant yellow, it really
that
makes
gray
it look gray.
Yep.
So once the wall is covered and that original yellow is gone, the new one's going to look like it's supposed to look.
Right.
But it is the color on the wall. It's causing this optical illusion of sorts. We've seen this with tans where they've got like a greenish tan on a wall and they go to a redder tan and it makes that redder tan look really pink until that green is covered over. We also see it tons of time when people have a primered wall. So just white, and then they put whatever color that they're going to try, they put a sample of that down. It makes that new color look very, very dark because you're seeing it directly against the white.
Right.
So what you need to do is just put it on a sample board, like we said, and try to view it away from or apart from that previous color on the walls. Don't let that influence how you're seeing the color.
Right. Now, Christine did the right thing. She stopped and she asked the question. And that's a very important lesson to learn. When you see something going wrong or you think something's not quite right,
don't keep going. Exactly.
Stop so we can fix it.
Any question that you've got, whether it's with application, whether it's with color, with just how the paint is laying out on a surface, if something looks wrong or you're confused, don't keep going.
Right.
Stop. And like Betsy said, don't freak out either. We'll help you fix the problem.
Yes.
We're going to be there to get you to the end and get you happy and make sure everything works out. So no reason to freak out.
Yes.
And there's please no reason to keep going. Give us a call. Stop out at any Repcolite Port City paint store. You can email Betsy and I at radio@repcolite.com. We check those emails regularly and we will get you your answer so you can keep going on and enjoy the project, because painting projects should actually be fun.
Yes.
It should be an exciting time, not
a time
full of confusion and frustration.
Right. Now, coming up after the break, we have kind of an array of things to talk about.
Smorgasbord.
Right. You can pick and choose what project you want to do next. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. We've got a number of questions lined up. They're kind of all over the place.
Yes.
And we'll try to get through as many of them as we can and do it as succinctly and brilliantly as possible.
It will
be
brilliant.
The brilliance they expect from me, because they've come to expect it.
Right.
They'll be pleasantly surprised if you perform brilliantly, Betsy.
Well, that's great, because then there's a whole lot less pressure on me.
Yeah, you have set the bar so low that pretty much anything you do is going to amaze people.
Yeah, well, I can limbo under that bar. Can you?
No, I can't. Barely bend over
then
to pick things up that I drop.
There
so
you
anyway,
go.
Let's move on to the question. The first one that we want to deal with is actually a spinoff or a question that came about because of last week's show.
Right.
We talked about decking and how to get your deck ready for summer, all the different things you need to do to clean it.
Yep.
And a listener wrote in and asked us, what about composite decking? How do I clean it and what can I stain that with?
Right.
Now, That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people have it.
Right.
Composite decking.
Yep.
And the decking can get dirty over time.
Oh, yeah.
It can actually fade and lose its vibrancy and just not look as good.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when that happens? You can't sand it.
No.
Like we talked about last week.
No.
And specific cleaners are required. But it's a different cleaning system than what we talked about last week.
Right. Now, if you're just taking off some debris and dirt and things like that, generally you can just use some hot soapy water and a soft bristle scrub brush, and that'll take care of it for you.
Right. Just pressure wash it afterwards. But do make sure that you check in with the manufacturer of whatever deck you have to get their recommendations on what to use pressure washer wise.
Right.
Because you're going to want to make sure you use a wide fan and something with a lower pressure nozzle.
Yeah. Now, if you have mold and mildew or oil and grease from your grill, because a lot of us grill on it.
On composite decking.
Yes.
Not just mold and mildew on
wherever.
Your person or grease and oil.
Yes, on your composite deck, then there actually is a special cleaner that you need to use on that. Repcolite and Port City stores carry one by Benjamin Moore. It's ironically called Composite Deck Cleaner.
It's brilliant.
It is.
Titling of a product.
Well, you know, now you know exactly
what it's for. Right, so if you've got grease or something from a barbecue, which we do, I know mine drips all over the place. There's that little pan that catches it.
Yes.
That I always forget to put there.
Yes.
Yeah, I clean it and then I forget to put it back and then I realize when I see the big puddle of grease forming.
Right.
If that's on the deck, you're going to need this Benjamin Moore deck cleaner. And that deck cleaner, it's a concentrate, so it's a granule that you mix with water and it can be used on all kinds of different surfaces. You could use it on the composite deck, but also railings, the white vinyl fencing, all kinds of different things like that. Outdoor furniture.
Yeah, it's going to remove mildew, algae, grease, oil, all of that stuff that you really don't want on there. And that makes your furniture and your deck look bad.
Right.
So
it gets rid of all of that, makes it look clean. There's so many different places you could use it. Just look out your window or drive past any house.
Anyone else's house who has it.
You'll find plenty of areas that people should be using this.
Yeah.
Now, to use it, like we said, you mix it with water, you spray it on with a little garden sprayer, let it stand for a few minutes, 5 minutes or so.
Yep.
Then you rinse it off. If you've got stubborn stains from the barbecue, you can even, when you've got the cleaner down, sprinkle the concentrate right on those spots and then scrub it around before you rinse it.
Yep.
Now, there's a ton more that we could say about the process, but that's not important. You can get that information at any Repcolite or Port City paint store. We just wanted to point out the product.
Right. Now, if you actually want to restain the deck because it's looking faded and stuff like that.
You can.
Yeah. We have a product, again, from Benjamin Moore. It's called Arbor Coat. It's their waterborne solid deck stain. Stop out at any of our stores and we'll hook you up with that product. It's going to make it look like a brand new deck.
Right. So if it is faded and you're a little bit bummed about that, there is a fix for it.
Right.
Stop out and see us.
Yes.
Now, let's shift gears dramatically, which we don't normally do.
Yes. Did you see that move?
No.
Sorry, the listeners couldn't see it.
Yeah,
but
Betsy made some weird jerky
It was
jerky
the shifting
move.
Gears.
Oh, it looked like some kind of spasm. You're all right, though, right?
It
just kind of freaked me out is what it did.
Well, good.
Okay. But
that's
you just
for.
Tell yourself it was cool.
Yes.
Let's shift gears and talk about awnings.
Okay.
I know it's dramatic, but I was driving around the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm driving past house after house with aluminum awnings that look terrible.
Yeah.
And so I want to help those people.
Of course you
do. Because I'm benevolent and kind like that.
Oh, there we go.
I'm always looking out for other people's best interests.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I decided to help.
Yeah.
We can get those things clean. We can work together, and you do most of the work.
You'll just tell them how to do it.
The listeners will do all of the work.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just...
Well, we could rent you out.
No, I'm not... You're going to need a big ladder, because I don't reach very many places.
That is true.
Anyway, to get those awnings cleaned, a lot of the times they've got mold, mildew, algae on them, things like that. The paint can be fading.
Mm.
They just don't look as good as they could. And it's too bad, because it's really, it's stuck right on the face of your house.
Yeah.
It's like great big blemishes on the face of your face. the skin of your face.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
It's not cool. You don't want it.
Right.
Fix it. It's so easy to fix.
A lot
of the times, just a cleaning will do it.
Yeah, you can start with a cleaner like Joe Max. It's an exterior.
Joe Max.
Joe Max.
It sounds like it's ready for action.
Well, it is.
G.I. Joe.
You can
Max.
Use that or TSP. Either one
TSP
will work.
TSP if you're repainting.
Yeah, only if you're repainting. But you just mix them with water, scrub it on there, rinse it off, and then see how it looks. Assess and see if it looks like you need to paint it or not.
Now, if you do have mold or mildew, you would need to add bleach to the Jomax.
Yes,
to kill
absolutely.
That. And if you add a little bit of bleach to the Jomax, we'll walk you through the instructions and how much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you add any of that to it, you're going to really want to make sure you spray down all the plants and everything around where you're going to be applying
this. Before and after.
Exactly.
Yep.
But it still can be used in that instance to clean them off.
Right.
Now, like Betsy's saying, once you've got it cleaned, you might be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's entirely possible that you won't have to paint it. But if you do want to paint it because it's faded, or maybe you just want to change the color, because mm-hmm. that's entirely possible, you just have to make sure that the surface is clean, dry, and dull. And if you just followed our instructions,
dry, and dull.
It should be that.
Just like Betsy.
Well, at least I'm not shiny and greasy and stinky.
Clean, dry, and dull. Let's just move on. Clean, dry, and dull.
Yes.
We'll walk you through the exact steps to get that surface prepped.
Mm-hmm.
Just call any Repcolite or Port City paint store. But the basic thing to remember is it's got to be clean, dry, and dull.
Right.
So if it's ready for that,
mm-hmm.
if those things are in place, you really just need to prime it if it's down to bare wood, bare metal.
Yeah, if you had to do any sanding of little spots,
right.
you might have sanded right through that powder coat or whatever's on there. So make sure you prime those spots up really well.
And we would recommend Zip Prime WB. We're talking about aluminum awnings,
yeah.
we should clarify.
Yeah.
There are other ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a metal that's going to rust more readily, you would want a rust inhibitive primer. But
right.
most of them are going to be aluminum awnings. So if you've got bare metal, prime them with Zip Prime WB,
yeah,
a Repcolite product.
Yep.
Water-based. It'll stick really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can top coat with what we'd recommend would be a product from Repcolite's Duranamel line. It is a really high-end water-based paint. It's going to give you a great, hard, durable finish. It comes
yeah.
in a gloss or a semi-gloss,
mm-hmm.
and those would hold up really, really well. We don't recommend a flat or a low gloss on any of these
no.
surfaces.
They just tend to collect dirt, and it shows the dirt way faster than one of those shinier sheens is going to.
Right. Now, one real quick thing. It's a third question that we're going to sneak in here. If you look this project up online, you're going to see the recommendations that you spray paint.
Yeah.
these awnings.
Uh-huh.
You know, the idea is that it's going to be easier. You're going to just
fast.
Get a rattle
yep.
can, a spray can,
right.
and dust over them, and you're good to go.
Right.
Here's three quick reasons why we don't recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
First off, spray cans don't give you a lot of coverage.
No.
You've got a lot of overspray. You lose a lot of product just to the wind.
Yeah.
And that's part of the other problem. The product that gets lost on the wind still ends up somewhere.
On someone's car or their house.
It can end up on cars or on your house or on your windows. It's a real pain.
Yes.
And thirdly, they just don't give you the build that you want for durability or something that's going to look good over the long haul.
Right. You end up having to do 4, 5, 6 coats, and you still don't end up with the same build that you would get from something that you brush and roll on. And that's where you get your durability and your longevity out of a product is from that build. So you really have to have that.
So that's why we recommend a product that can be brushed or rolled. And we recommend that in a lot of instances where
yep.
people tend to want to go to a spray can because it might be easier to apply.
Mm-hmm.
We would challenge the fact that it's easier because of all the reasons that we said. And we also feel you're going to get just a better coating, a better film build, and better
right.
durability, better appearance out of brushing and rolling it.
Absolutely.
And there we go. That's a wrap.
That it's is over. A wrap.
All of these episodes, all the past episodes, and this one can be found online at repcolite.com, along with all kinds of other cool stuff. Go there and check it out.
Absolutely. And don't forget, as you head into the holiday weekend, that today is the last day for that Benjamin Moore Regal sale, Regal Select. $10 off a gallon of Regal Select, up to 5 gallons. You don't want to miss out. Today is the last day for that.
Right. So stop up at any Repcolite or Port City paint store today.
Yep.
We're open till 3 o'clock, and we are closed on Memorial Day on Monday.
Yeah, that's our public service announcement. We are closed on Monday.
Yeah, so tuck that away in the back
mm-hmm.
of your mind.
Yep.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help you get the grease off your composite deck the right way, so you don't have to scrape it. Get it under your fingernails.
Well, you know, if you use that little tray, you might not have so much.
Well, but for the people who don't, we will help you.
Right.
Thanks for listening.